Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, one of three of us now, morning show hosts on Tuesdays, and it's a beautiful Tuesday to be here in the studio. We've got some snow, and we've got warmer temps, and it looks like more snow on the way. I'll get into that in just a moment. This morning, we're really happy to be joined by the master naturalists of, well, I guess they're of Idaho, and also in particular of Bonner County, and our guests this morning are Patrick Myers. Pat's been a longtime volunteer. You've been a president, I think. Yes.
Yes.
For Master Naturalists, and I'm sure many, many other hats you've worn with them. And our second guest this morning is Debbie Crane. And Debbie, you are the current president. Good morning.
Good morning, Julie.
All right. I'm going to finish this weather report, and then we'll hear from you a little bit about yourselves and how you became involved with the Master Naturalists. But, but first of all, the weather. And it's looking kind of uniform in that I'm seeing cloudy days, warmer weather, and a chance of snow just about every day. That'll make the skiers happy. Are you guys skiers?
Yeah. Sort of.
Sort of.
Yes. Not anymore.
Maybe a smart move. I don't know. But anyway, it looks like either a chance of snow or a chance of rain right on through Monday and warmer temps. So spring is on its way, and I'm always happy to see that happening. All right, back to the Master Naturalists. So if you would, Pat and Debbie, please each of you give us a little bit of information about yourselves and tell us how you got involved with this really interesting program. Debbie, go.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks so much for having us. It's a really special organization, and I'm excited to be able to talk about it. My husband and I discovered North Idaho in 2001 and have made a life and built a home and just enjoyed being up here so much. And in 2020, I saw an article in the co-op paper about Master Naturalists, and I was intrigued. At that time, I was a hospice volunteer, and I was really enjoying that. But very soon, COVID hit, and we volunteers were no longer allowed to see our patients. But Master Naturalists had classes online, and so I was able to join the group and learn a little more, and just it's been a great experience.
How nice. What a great way to find your way to the Master Naturalists. You couldn't really do anything else, basically.
That's true.
And found them. Well, good on Master Naturalists for having classes that people could take advantage of during COVID. Pat, tell us about you.
Yes, I'm kind of a native originally to the area. I was born in Newport and lived in Coeur d'Alene and Sandpoint growing up and moved to Spokane area for high school and beyond. But most of my career, I was in Houston in the oil and gas business. But at the time, my wife and I in the 90s bought some property up here because we loved it and wanted to come back to the home base. And in 2018 was my first year of joining the Master Naturalists. I had gone to a class on the kokanee spawning over at Trestle Creek on the fall before that, and they were recruiting new members to see who wanted to be join us for the following year. So I joined then. And then the 4 years after that, I was the education chairperson, including the 2 years of COVID where we did the online classes, Zoom classes. And then I was president for 2 years. And this year I'm the vice president and communications chair.
Well, you'll slowly work your way down out of responsibilities, but it can take a long time with a volunteer organization. They rarely want to let you go if you're doing a good job. So you may be in areas of responsibility for a while, and I think that would be good. Can one of you describe the Master Naturalist program? Just basically, what is it?
The Master Naturalist program is a volunteer organization, and we work toward the stewardship of the natural environment of Idaho. And so we're trying to learn and take care of our beautiful area up here. And I think of it as a tree with two main branches, the branch of volunteering and the branch of education. So in education, we educate ourselves, we educate new members, and we educate children, and we also like to educate the public. And in the volunteer branch, we go out into the world and we help just, you know, try to make the world a better place out there. We work very closely. We are a branch of Idaho Fish and Game. And so we work very closely with them and what they do.
Yes. And if I'm correct, you're not the only chapter in the state. Aren't there something like 10 chapters?
Yeah. Yes, there are. There had been 11. Lewiston chapter kind of fizzled out, but they've actually got two new chapters, Moscow and I think over somewhere around Tetons.
Mm-hmm. Really nice. Yeah. But it's a national program as well, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, so really neat. And lots of research being done by citizen scientists that can be shared across the whole country. Love it. All right, so that is kind of what you're about. And is there a brief history that would be interesting for us?
Yes, Julie. The Master Naturalist program was started, I think they're getting organized in 2008. And they had some chapters underway in 2009. Our chapter is the Ponderay chapter, headquartered in Sandpoint area, and just in Sagal across the river from Sandpoint is our headquarters. And in 2011 until now, we've been active. We've actually had a lot of volunteer activities over the years, and you know, I can get in a little bit later over what we've done over the past year, because we've really been increasing our volunteer work over the last couple of years.
I can't wait to hear about it. It sounds like there's a lot going on. If we haven't covered all of this yet, is there, Debbie, you've told me that it's sort of a two-prong approach, but is there a stated purpose or mission of Master Naturalists?
We are volunteers working for the stewardship of Idaho's natural environment. That's our mission statement. And I've really started thinking deeply about it and what that means in regards to being up here, living up here, and just, you know, what we can do and what we can learn and teach as well about the beautiful area that we are so privileged to live in. We're just so grateful to be here, and it's a way of conserving and protecting for future generations as well.
Yeah, I can see that. And listeners, I've got to tell you, she stated that mission without looking at her paper. She has it memorized. Good job.
Thank you.
I know, very impressive. So I think what I'd like to ask next about is just general information about the chapter. Who is it? How many people, roughly? Like, what kinds of people are interested?
Well, on the whole, we're retirees, but we welcome all ages, 18 and up. We have a lot of. How many are on our mailing list now, Pat?
About 80, I think.
Okay, and we have about 40-some active members. We had 26 certified last year. So we're an active group, a very caring group, and we just, people come from all different walks of life. And what I've found really interesting about the group is that there are some incredibly knowledgeable, you know, real experts in certain areas of, the natural sciences. And then there are those of us like myself who are just, you know, truly, just appreciate and want to learn more about, you know, this area.
Yeah, so it can be for people with lots of education or people just really wanting to learn more about everything environmental in this Idaho panhandle.
Absolutely.
That's really neat. Is it also a bit of a social group? Do you hang out together? Or
we do. That's one of the fun things I say is Master Naturalists are some of the most natural people I've ever met. I mean, they're down-to-earth nature lovers in all shapes, sizes, and forms. I mean, we just and we enjoy being around each other. But we're, you know, I mean, there are those of us who just would rather go out in nature by ourselves as well. My favorite thing is to go out kayaking and just be on the lake and soak in the incredible scenery, the sky, the mountains. But, you know, some people are hikers and, you know, some are birders and there are a lot of fishermen and some hunters and some, you know, just people who want to, you know, just enjoy this beautiful world that we're so privileged to live in.
Yes, and they find a way into science through this Master Naturalist program so they can enjoy the outdoors and then feel like they're helping gain information and educate themselves too. It's nice. All right, so I'd like to know a bit about what the certification requirements look like for a person who wants to become a Master Naturalist.
So there is a commitment involved, and that's important to know up front, is for new members, there's 40 hours of education, and Pat's going to touch on all the incredible ways that we can learn up here. And then there's 40 hours of volunteering, and we have so many volunteer opportunities. So, you know, the education part is in person at the Waterlife Discovery Center on Lakeshore Drive, the old fish hatchery. And so we have classes there. We also are have some online classes available, and we're doing a new hybrid situation, and Pat will fill in more about that.
Sounds good. Well, let's just go ahead and launch into that, Pat. Let's hear about what the educational class schedule looks like for folks.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. You know, we have a lot of classes that we've arranged. Pam Gomes is our class scheduling chairperson for the year. She's been doing that for a few years now. And as Debbie mentioned, we have a kind of a hybrid class. In the years past, we've had some trouble with people who've signed up, but they weren't able to make some of the weekday classes because they're still working. And this year, we're going to do several weeks where we have lists to different webinars that are available online that are on a related topic. And then the following either Thursday or Saturday, typically on Saturdays, when people might be able to make it if they couldn't make it during the week, we'll have an in-person presentation on something that's a similar topic. And then following that, we're going to have people who are in the new class report on what inspired them from the webinars that they listened to during the week. If we don't get volunteers, we might actually assign somebody to make sure they watch one of the webinars at least so they can report on that. And we want to get people inspired to do something about nature-related thing. Something that actually happened for me last year, I listened to a Doug Tallamy webinar in the winter and about Nature's Best Hope, a book he did, and it's basically turning lawns into native plant habitats, if you can, because the lawns are very unbiodiverse. And it inspired me to put in a small native pollinator garden in my yard. And I planted about, I think, a dozen different varieties of some native flowering plants. And I had a monarch butterfly show up on my yard.
Get out of here. I've never seen one in North Idaho.
At the end of September, I have pictures. It's posted on the Fish and Game site and on iNaturalist. And it's, as far as I know, it's the only one posted on the Fish and Game website for Bonner County. And it was, I was dumbfounded. I was went in the yard and I saw it, but I didn't have my phone. I ran in to get my phone and it wasn't there anymore, but it came back and I got pictures.
That is so, great. Cool. I've had a friend misidentify butterflies as monarchs up here, and I would get so excited and then look at the picture and I'm like, oh, nope, that's not a monarch. I'm so happy that you've seen that one has come here, at least one.
So a little bit more about the schedule. We have a lot of organizations in the area do classes that are related to education for us. We have a class schedule that Pam's put together that has pretty much the first page of the entire schedule is classes by others that are relevant to education for Master Naturalists. Our classes will start on March 21st, and if anyone's interested in that, they can contact us at imn.sandpoint@gmail.com, and we can send you information on that and how to get you signed up. But throughout the year, we'll have a lot of field trips as well, and in-person classes, and just try to, wide variety on plants and fish and geology-related, many, many things related to the outdoors.
I'd like to back up for just a moment and ask you a question about the hybrid certification process. Was that happening last year? Was it going on last year?
No, this is the first time we've tried this. So we'll see how it goes this year to try to get more participation. When we get fewer than half of our members who signed up to go to any one class, then that's a problem. We feel like we need to do something different to get people to stay more engaged throughout the year. And so we're just trying it this year to see how well that will work out and if we can get people more involved throughout the year.
Yes, I mean, I've always seen it as a bit of a challenge, basically the schedule for getting in all of your courses. So it does seem like that could open the door for a lot of people.
Right.
And the reason I asked you if it had been going on last year was that 27 people sounds like an awful lot of new Master Naturalists. So even without hybrid classes, you did pretty darn well.
Actually, last year we only had, I think, 9 new members. Of the numbers who certified, we had, we had 4 new members certify and 22 existing members.
I see. Sorry, I got that wrong. Yes, but that's a lot of certified Master Naturalists then. And then with your new programming, hopefully you'll see a little larger group. Very nice. Well, you've touched on the basic categories of education folks can look up and maybe sign up for, but let's get into the nitty-gritty a little bit. What are some of the individual courses that might perk up someone's ears and make them want to become one of you?
All right. Well, we have opening classes with just information about Naturalists and on March 21st. The next one after that is a class I'm going to teach on the Doug Tallamy webinar that I mentioned about Nature's Best Hope. And then we're going to show the webinar and then do some discussion about that afterwards on how people can try to get some more native plants in their environment. But we have river restoration projects. We're going to have water quality monitoring training. One of the things that we do as volunteers, a lot of us do, is work with the ICL on sampling the water in the Lake Ponderay area. So you have to do some training on that. We have, let's see, some other fun things. We're going to have recreating in bear country. Again, that's a typical one we do. We're going to have Scotchman Peaks is going to be doing a presentation for us on opportunities that they have to help work on that, on projects that they do as the GOAT ambassadors or trail ambassadors. And doing the trail improvement as well. We have mushroom classes, both the spring and fall. So that's some of the key ones, I think.
Sounds fun. What about plant identification? Does that come up?
Yes, definitely. Derek Antonelli is a self-made botanist, one of our members, and he's actually the president of the Calypso chapter of the Idaho Native Plant Society in Coeur d'Alene area. And he is our go-to guy for tree identification and plant identification. So we'll do a plant identification class and field trip. We have birding classes as well. So
really fun.
Yeah.
What about, I know that, I think that if not the Native Plant Society, but maybe the Bonner County Gardeners will do a little bit in like identifying plant pests. Is that something a Master Naturalist can learn about, or is that not really in your...
It's, we actually have had classes on entomology. The forestry group of the U of I Extension annually does classes on forest insect and disease control projects, but we actually have some entomology classes as well.
Now, this is one I'm going to ask you for a selfish reason, and it's that I've been thinking that I would like to interview someone who knows the evening sky much better than I do. Is that a topic that you look at as master naturalists? And if not, I might ask your help off air to try and help me figure out who I would call or look for.
It is not something that I'm aware that we've ever done, any astronomy-related things.
Yes. But. Well, hopefully it'll be coming soon to KRFY, folks. And if you're listening and you know of someone, call me and I'll interview them. All righty. So, well, what else about the offerings? Is that pretty much it? If so, I'll take a little song break and we'll come back and talk about other activities and training.
Well, I think that's most of them. And we have river restoration projects for both the Clark Fork River. Last year, we had a field trip to the Pack River Delta. That was Fish and Game had a project to rebuild some islands there and plant things there. So that's one of the projects we're thinking of this year, of maybe doing a bio blitz plant survey, see how things are doing.
Really neat. Are most of your projects connected with Fish and Game?
A lot of them are. We work with them very closely to get a feel for what projects they have going for the year. A lot of the volunteer work we did last year were based on projects that they wanted to get involved with. One of them was a milkweed survey that we did up here in that we helped with up here in North Idaho, and this year it's going to become a statewide project for Fish and Game.
That sounds like a good one, especially for you, having seen what sounds like the first monarch up in the panhandle. Really neat. Oh, Debbie.
I just wanted to add that what I have found with the classes is that there's such a broad range. It's very general education, and yet what it does is it piques people's interest. And then they can go deeper. So, for instance, it piqued my interest in birding. And so I've, you know, really begun studying, you know, our local birds more and, you know, trying to, you know, just get out and, you know, listen to the bird song and, you know, download the Merlin app and just enjoy, you know, doing that. As well as, you know, some of the other things, like I'm part of the Idaho Conservation League Water Quality Monitoring Group. And so we get to go out on the lake and, you know, sample and, you know, determine, you know, the pollutants and issues that are going on in our beautiful Lake Ponderay. So we support a lot of other groups as well. So we're a broad-based volunteer organization, and then you can determine your specialty and special interest.
Yeah, find your passion so you can find what really intrigues you and then keep going with it. Really nice. Well, all right, folks, I think we're going to take a short song break, and then we'll be back to talk about volunteering opportunities and more. We've picked out what I think is a good one because if you don't know it yet, you soon will, that men and women are very much invited. Well, wasn't that perfect for this morning's topic? If you're just joining us, listeners, this is KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. I'm Julie Calamine, and this is the KRFY Morning Show. And this morning, we're talking with the Master Naturalists. We're here with Pat Myers and with, Debbie Crane. So happy to have you guys here this morning and plenty more to talk about. But before we do that, I actually have a little poem I'd like to read you all, and I hope that you'll find it a little bit funny. This was written by a friend of mine who is like a little like Debbie, new to the country and more of a city person. Some of you know him. His name's Gary. So this was written by Gary, and I'll just go ahead and recite it and hope you enjoy it. City boy. She belongs to the country. She asks me if I know any birds. Seagull, sparrow, pigeon. Eagle, it's on the dollar. And that Fruit Loop thing, it's on a box. I belong in the city. She asks me to identify a bird landing near us. All I can say is that it's beautiful, but I don't know it. She says, it's a robin. I tell her that I know a woman named Robin. She thinks I'm an idiot. Well, anyway, I hope you found that amusing, and I think it leads right into our topic of learning more about nature. We all have somewhere we need to start, don't we, folks? Sure do.
Absolutely, Julie. Yes. I can relate to that poem because I was born and raised in Columbus, Ohio, and then lived in Phoenix, Arizona. So This is actually my first foray on septic and sewer and septic and well water, and I'm loving it. I guess I didn't know that I was a country girl at heart.
That's right. You don't know it till you come to try it out.
Exactly. And so, you know, that's what I want to welcome anybody out there who wants to learn more about, you know, this beautiful, beautiful area is to come join Master Naturalists and learn about everything that surrounds us.
It's a great way to get started. If you feel like you've got a lot to learn and you're starting late, I'd say become one. Well, let's move on, guys, and talk about some of the great opportunities for volunteers. We've covered on some, but let's keep going.
Well, after you have certified your first year, we want you to continue your education. So you are, in order to certify the next year, you're to have 8 hours of continuing education. And there are so many opportunities, so many great opportunities to learn. We have lists and pages of opportunities. And yes.
Yes, and they're not through you necessarily. You can offshoot and learn something that interests you.
Exactly. But then we also ask you to do 40 hours of volunteer work. And again, there are so many incredible opportunities up here with different organizations as well as with Fish and Game. So Pat's going to tell us a little bit about what's available.
Okay. Thank you. Some of the things that we've done just last year, for example, some of the projects were planting saplings at WMAs and along a river restoration project over in western Montana, actually, northwest Montana. One of the big projects was some of our members have gotten involved with a new group called the Mining Monarchs, and they planted a pollinator, a milkweed and other pollinator plant garden at their Waterlife Discovery Center for propagation, so they can use the rhizomes of that milkweed to spread milkweed around the area. We've done field trip hosting at Waterlife Discovery Center for third and fourth graders. We've had a lot of people in our group join the Bonner County the Pend'Oré Water Festival, which is for all the county fifth graders over at Riley Creek. And we do that annually. The Taking Me Fishing trailer for Fish and Game that we help with and when they go to the local lakes for that. As I mentioned earlier, we've got and Debbie mentioned the water quality testing in the lakes. We have one of the key activities is working in the summertime at our headquarters to greet the public. We'll be open a few days a week. We haven't really decided which days this year, but it's generally 3 to 4 days a week for about 4 hours midday.
Yeah. And you finish, but then I've got a question.
Okay. And let's see, we've got,
okay, I've got a question now, yeah, actually.
Go for it.
And that is, what types of things are you educating the public at when you're out at Waterlife Discovery Center? What goes on? What do kids and adults learn about?
We have a lot of displays in the building, that are related to nature. We have microscopes for kids to look at bugs under that, things about conifers, fish, you know, beaver display. Anything else, Debbie, you can think of that are important to show what we have there?
We have a mock-up of the original cabin from the fish hatchery. And then, you know, outdoor, you know, that you can go there anytime, and there are walking trails and displays along the way there as well.
And is Fish and Game still putting trout in that lovely little pond?
Oh, that's yes. That's great. You've got to come see them. We have the biggest rainbow trout I've ever seen. It's like 24 inches. We have a local man who'll come and feed them. And, you know, they're big. I saw an osprey wasn't even able to pick it up out of the pond. It was so big, it dropped it.
Oh, boy. I hope it got back in the pond.
It did.
Oh, good. Yes, and one benefit of you all caring for that pond is that sometimes the Trout Unlimited group will come out and teach fly fishing instruction there, and it's nice to have those fish there so they've got a chance to catch something.
Yeah, actually, every year for the last, is it 3 years? I think we've done it so far, fly fishing clinic for the youth, teenage kids. And because we had such big fish in the pond last year that had been there from the year before, when those kids were catching some of those 24-inch long rainbow, that's just something they probably won't get in elsewhere.
It was really
great for the kids to be able to do that.
They may have hit their peak at age 10 or 12 and never catch another one as big.
Yeah. Maybe a couple other things we've done are we assisted Round Lake staff with field trips. We assisted forestry competitions for students. There's a raptor survey we got involved with. And one of the really big projects for last year was creating some education trunks for LPOSD and Kootenai County elementary schools. We finished those up, four different topics that are fish, pollinators, bears, and small mammals of North Idaho. And we have started to roll those out to the local schools.
That's fun. So, and let's back up for a second and go back to that forestry competition. If people don't know what that is, that's kind of a big deal.
It is, yeah. It happens annually. And I don't remember who actually participated in that. It wasn't me, but we have had some members who helped with that.
Right. That's a kind of a big deal for kids that might go into that as a life career or just to learn more about what it's like to know what a healthy forest looks like and logging and information. So it's kind of a cool one. And what about you, Go? Yeah.
I just, one thing about volunteering hours, the state of Idaho or all the master naturalist chapters in the state have now done over 300,000 volunteer hours since the inception in 2009. Our chapter last year did over 5,000 hours, which was about a 35-40% bump over the previous year, which had been a record. So we've really increased our volunteer efforts over the last couple of years. Last year, of the 22 members who certified, we had 15 who had over 100 hours of volunteer hours each. So that was a really big plus for us, getting more and more people involved and not just doing the 40, but they're putting in a lot of hours to help with various projects.
Yes. So for me to understand fully, to remain a master naturalist, you would like for the volunteer to get in 40 hours each year of volunteering. But it sounds like they're enjoying it so much, everybody is going above and beyond.
Yes, that's right.
That's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. Well, what are your favorite volunteering activities to get your 40 or 100 hours in?
Well, I for 3 years, I was the Water Life Discovery Center chairperson. And so I have a real heart for that little place out there. It is such a gem for the community that I want to encourage, you know, all our listeners to come and see it, walk the trails, and, you know, enjoy it. So as a naturalist on duty, you get to meet people from all over the country and from Canada as well. And you get to, you know, engage with children who are just curious about the natural world. And so I just love being a naturalist on duty.
Good for you. That's a great way to spend your time and help kids learn a few things. Is that your main volunteering activity?
I guess so. I'm trying to think. Well, I also do the water quality monitoring. I do the water festival. I do, I did the milkweed survey last year. That was a lot of fun to map the milkweed, and it's like, you know, we're going to get these monarchs back to Bonner County, you know, so it's a definitely so many various interesting places that and things that you can do.
Yes, and now I've got to ask, how was that survey? Did you find quite a few milkweed plants?
I did. Well, the place that I found them actually was along the Sand Creek Trail. There was two very nice growth areas there. So that was where I discovered mine.
Very good. Well, Patrick, what have been your favorite volunteering activities?
Last year, I helped, I kind of headed up efforts to build bat houses and bird houses. This year, we're going to build some bee hotels.
Wow.
Out of logs. The solitary bees that live in cavities, they can lay their eggs and live in cavities of hollow stems of plants that are dead from the previous year. But if you give them some holes in a log, then they have some more opportunities there. So we're going to make some of those this year. I helped with planting some trees. I did the water festival. I'm the lead on the watershed station at the water festival. That's kind of the main ones for me, I think.
Well, it sounds like the two of you together make up most of the 2,000 hours.
Well, Pat is just a rock star. He's amazing and inspires all of us to get more involved. But we're just surrounded by, you know, a lot of incredibly caring people.
Yeah, that care about the environment and want to get involved and have the time and interest to do so. What a fun group. I don't think I've asked this question yet. So if we have listeners right now that are just getting excited about becoming a master naturalist, what would you have them do right now?
Well, get in touch with us by email is the best way at imn.sandpoint@gmail.com. And we'll give that to you again. And we will send you information. But, you know, there's not a lot of skill sets that you need other than a really great curiosity to learn more about the world out there. And a heart that wants to promote and protect our environment.
Maybe some curiosity.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, I know from previous interviews with Patrick, it's not 100% free. Is that a barrier for people? Or tell us more.
No, the new members pay $65. In subsequent years, it's only $15. For the new membership, you get a badge, a hat, a binder to keep notes in, and we also have to pay some money to the state for them to get you into their timesheet system and send you certificates and pins and things like that. So that's why it's a lot cheaper in the second year onward.
All right. But that's not too terrible for everything you're going to be receiving, all that education and new friends, et cetera. Yeah, right. So not bad. Okay, and let's have a reminder again about when it's all getting rolling this year, when folks can expect to start attending classes.
The first class will be March 21st at 1 p.m., a Friday afternoon, and then the following day in the morning, we're going to have the second class. And then from there on, it's pretty much something every week or so for the first couple months. As we mentioned earlier, they still have a lot of those webinars to watch, and then we might just have one in-person class on that week, but prior to that, you'll have the opportunity to listen to and watch multiple webinars to get you kind of excited about the topic of the week.
Oh, great. And if a person does have a schedule, we've talked about this also, but if your schedule doesn't quite exactly fit, can you work with those people? Like if they can make some but not all, or is that still kind of a important part of the process?
Yes, it's really pretty easy. We don't really require of the 40 hours that you need for education. You don't have to go out to all the classes. As Debbie mentioned earlier, there are some online classes available, but they're still out there for us. In addition to the webinars that are available this year as part of the topics for the various weeks we have. So they can do some classes at home on their own to get some education credit and then come to the in-person classes when they can.
Okay. Well, what I'm hearing you saying is that you will make it work. And so folks shouldn't feel worried about not being able to meet the requirement.
Yeah. We really do want them to have at least 50% of their time in person so they can meet everybody else and get a feel for what the other people are doing. But it's not mandatory. We just make sure that they take classes that are related to the state's core curriculum, and that's what we offer.
Yeah, very nice. Well, as we're coming to an end of this talk, I'm wondering if there's anything I might have missed. Is there anything you might like to add, Debbie or Pat?
I just want to encourage everybody to who is interested to get in touch with us. And you know, if you have questions or there's anything that's of interest to you that you would like to find more about us, we will make sure that we'll get that information to you. I just want to reiterate that it's not for everybody, but it's for those who really want to make an impact on this beautiful area that we live in. And I just am so happy that we got a chance to come and talk to you about it.
Well, thank you for coming. Pat, would you like to add anything?
Yes, there are a few things that we've done. We've posted flyers around the area so that people can get an idea about what's coming up. And we've got posts on Sandpoint Online. We're going to have an article come out in a co-op paper, an article in the Reader. So there'll be other, and we also have social media posts on various Sandpoint area, North Idaho area Facebook pages to get the word out there that what we're all about and when the classes will start. So if you missed it already, then just kind of look around the various bulletin boards in your area, and you can see a flyer with the information on how to contact us at the imn.sandpoint@gmail.com.
Yes, and then there's your website too, which is really quite complete.
Yes,
and that's
thank you.
The same. Is that the same? No, you just go to. That's not a Gmail, is it?
No. The Idaho Master Naturalist Program has a website page in the Fish and Game site, and if you find the Ponderé chapter of those, then there are documents in the documents button there that you can open up to see our class schedule. We have got an online calendar there as well to show when classes are coming up.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's very comprehensive. So folks, you can go there too. And anything else? Have we covered it for the moment?
I think so. I
think that's about it for now.
Great. Well, yeah. Listeners, you know how to get a hold of the Master Naturalists. You've heard a lot about what's going on with them and all the interesting opportunities. So I would say don't be shy. Go ahead and give it a try.
Yeah. Just one more thing, Julia. We've got the volunteer forms for you to sign up to join us with me today.
I know it. You know, listeners, Patrick has asked me this every year when we've interviewed them, and I'm like a wilting wallflower about this, and I don't know why. I'm a busy person, but there's no reason I shouldn't get going on it. So, Pat, you and I will talk soon.
That's great.
All right. Well, everybody, this was a song selected by our Master Naturalist. We'll take a song break, and then I will be back with some upcoming events here in town and also through KRFY. So let's take a listen. It is Big Yellow Taxi, a favorite on this station.